Interactive and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Surprise, surprise, surprise. This is not Stanya, but this is Tell It to Stanya show. So, standing in for Miss Davis today is Ian Mora. Happy to be here with you and spend this hour as we talk today about the youth and the future. I'm glad to be following up a powerful show with the young baseball giants, because that's exactly the direction that I would like to go in today. So who am I? For those of you that don't know me, my name is Ian Mora, also known as Bongo. I am a member of the Rastafari community, associated with the Theocracy Reign Order of the Nyabingi. I am a community builder. Not an activist, but a community builder. What does that mean? I participate in Genesis Junkanoo Group, which is very much focused on building of the community using culture. I'm a member of Ubuntu, the world famous Ubuntu band, and we focus on healing and using the various drums, but mainly the djembe drum, to bring that healing and bring people together. Just this morning, we were at the, I think that's the Jingle Bell Run, and we drum for them to keep them inspired. So I'm also a part of Ubuntu, and what do we do there? We sponsor a free community drumming session. It's a bonfire that we host at Goodman's Bay at various times of the year. You'll have to follow us on social media to find out about that. But Ubuntu is an African term which simply means I am, because you are. There is no me without you, or we are interconnected. So I'm also a part of Ubuntu. I've also been a part of the Indaba Project since 2000. The Indaba Project is a local nonprofit organization that focuses on repairing the hurt that we as African people have gone through the system called Maafa. Most people know it as slavery, but we'll get into that a little bit later, but we call it Maafa. And we worked with a generation of, a generation of young people and guided them from primary school straight up to adulthood, taking them inner city youth and carrying them to various family, teaching them how to swim. But I think the feather in my cap, even though it's not the final thing about me, is that I am a family man. I have 5 children, my wife and I, and that is the key towards healing for me. I am also the principal of program. Sure, to sound a little bit like I've given a resume here, but just to let people know who I am the principal of program Sure, and I have been that for the past 2 years, but I've worked at Program Shore for maybe almost 20 years of my life. Young people, I must say, are my passion. And I have always been drawn not to the young people who got it, you know, two-parent homes that are stable, family support, exposed, involved in extracurricular activities. I like them and I have no problem dealing with them. But those are the ones who everybody wants to deal with, you know? Everybody wants a child that conforms to what they say, a child that's not going to give them challenges. But what about those young people who are not like that? You know, what about those young people whose families are struggling? What about those young people who are struggling themselves with substance abuse because they are trying to self-medicate to deal with issues that they have going on? What about the youth with mental health issues? Who is going to care for them? What about the youth who is a candidate for the gangs? Who is going to care for him? Because you see, as a society, what we end up doing is not wanting them to have peace. We don't want crime. We don't want violence. We want peace. We want to be free to go wherever we can go, to do whatever we want to do without the threat of violence. And there is nothing wrong with that. However, that can turn into a very selfish thing because their trauma, their hurt, their pain is what brought them to where they are. And if it is not an exchange, if it's not an exchange where we help them and they help us, then we run the risk of it just being an activity drug, of us engaging these young people under the guise that we are trying to help them. And in many cases, it's not anything malicious. It's something that, we have good intentions. Right? But dealing with at-risk troubled youth requires a special perspective and a special mindset. And that is just some of the things that I learned over almost 20 years at Program Shore. And this is where we focus on today. So many young people that we look at on a daily basis and we see them with their pants drop low. There's so much complaining about the youth of the country, Honestly, every child starts off as a blank slate. Every single one of them start off as a blank slate. And we, the community, the parents, the family, we are the ones who write on their pages. We are the ones who define who they are, whether intentionally or unintentionally. But when they don't turn out the way that we would like, then we begin the blame game. And blaming is easy, you know. It's easy to do, you know, and it even gives you a sense of comfort. Oh, it's the parents' fault. Why are those parents not doing what? Oh, it's the father not in the home. And while those things may be true, there's context. Let me say this. The majority of the parents, mothers in particular, that I come in contact with are not mothers who don't care about their child. They are mothers who have financial struggles. When they are trying to address these financial struggles, they don't have the support of someone to watch the child. Therefore, years go by and the child is on his own and he becomes a teenager. So the mother, the family, missed an opportunity to write on his book. And so he looks within the community, the people that are around him, and he understands what power is. Because even though we talk about all these other issues, most of the young men that are involved in gang and violence, the real issue for them is power. After you've grown up in poverty and you see your mother struggling, become a hero to you anymore. She becomes someone that society looks down on, and so the parents lose a sense of influence because they cannot give their children the material wealth. Now, I hear people talk all the time, you know, especially in the media, about the results that we get in our VG, in our standardized tests. And every year we lament the youth. We talk about them going to school with no books in their bags. We talk about how they are dressed. But did we ever think that these are the values that we are giving them? That really and truly, the children and the values that they have, or the young people and the values that they have, they don't get them themselves, the society that they are a part of. And so if we're finding out that our young people are leaving us with a lot to be desired, then that means that there's more required of us. Now, within the Western framework of thinking, I am the adult. I have my job. I do everything right. And so I have the power. You see where power comes in again? I have the power. And so it is not me that must change, but it is them that must change. It is not me that must do something different. It is them that must do something different. And as a country, once we divide ourselves between they and us, well, even the Bible speaks to what happens when a house is divided, eh? Even the Bible speaks to a house failing because of division. So once we start to divide ourselves between they and us, and I don't mean that we can't have differences. No. Differences is natural to human beings. That's why they have different flowers in a garden. Differences are natural. However, the values that we put on those differences have an impact more than what we realize. When we say in our language, in our treatment, intentionally and unintentionally, that poverty, the young person who lives in that poverty, aside from the reality that they face of having less, it makes them feel less than. I often hear us talk about the past and this great, glorious past, you know, and how people were kept their place clean, how people, it was just great, you know. But those are like memories. And with memories, there's often a sense of glorifying or over-glorifying. And so we find that when we begin to talk about they versus us, they, it's them rather than all of this is us, and we put a hierarchy on it, we say one is higher and one is lower. And the most powerful forms of doing this is in the nonverbal communications. What we don't realize is when you go for any service, it doesn't have to be government, when you go for any service and you don't look the part, here in this Bahamas, you won't get treated the same way. So imagine when that happens for services that are essential. You go to the hospital and you don't get the help you need. You go to the police and you're away. We had an incident like that not too long ago where the mother of the murdered victim said that she took time to go to the police station because they were going to turn her away anyhow. And she said this would have not been the first time she would have experienced that. And so when we have structural prejudices like that, and it ain't other people that we could point the finger at, you know, it's all of us. Or unless if all of us evaluate ourselves and see exactly how we contributing to it, we could be contributing without even knowing. We could be contributing towards these values that say some of us is less than. Some of us should be excluded. Some of us, our voices should not be heard. And that is a challenge that runs throughout the Bahamas, throughout the world. We've inherited that. We didn't create that. But however, we do have the ability to change that. We do have the ability to change the way that we look at the world. We do have the ability to change the way that we interact with the world. And that's really what's happening now. All of the crisis that we see happening, the environmental crisis, the earth is telling us, change how you deal with me. The social, change how you deal with me. And this is not anything new. We are now at the time where we are reaping the harvest of what, of the land that we tilled. And maybe we wanted peas, and now we see it's corn. But it's still us who are responsible for that corn. And so when we have a culture that says certain people are powerless, and those individuals have no structured mechanisms of redress, the natural outcome for a human is violence. They say when you back an animal against the wall or put him in a corner, even the most humble of animal will fight back. But what if that corner is financial? What if that corner is social? And what if the animal is a human being? What are they really going to do when they're living in a very frustrating situation? And the next person that we love to blame, because remember I say now, blame is a part of this game and it makes us feel good. We sit and we talk all day about who's at fault and who is to blame. And so next up is the government. And like I say, these complaints are founded, you know. They're founded, but they're not the whole story. So next up is the government should. The prime minister should. My MP should. But the thing about it is that as long as we figure somebody else should come and save us, as long as we figure it's somebody else's problem, then you know what? The problem only. This didn't start now. I think it might have been the 1970s or 80s. They had a song come out. I think it's Marvin Gaye. I'm not much of a singer, but you know, it spoke to teachers. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. So from then to now, we've been planting these seeds and tilling the ground. And now we're at a point where a large demographic of our students are not relating to the lessons that are being taught to them. And so we are not seeing the types of results that we need. All is not lost. We just have to do something different. We have to understand who our demographic is. Right now, the majority of teachers will be of the generation that's called Generation X. The teachers that would have been older than them would have been part of the baby boomers. Each one of these generations, even though these are American terms, American categorizations, they still apply, you know. They still apply. So baby boomers act a particular way. Generation X that came after them act a particular way. And now we passed Generation Y, and now we're So the same way that the cell phone that they had in the 1990s is not applicable now, it's the same way that many of the strategies that we use in dealing with our young people are not applicable now. It's as simple as that. If you went and got one of those old house phones where you got to do the dial and you're trying to communicate with people, it's functional. However, you're not going to be able to function at the level of somebody who is operating at a higher level. And so when we're talking about dealing with Generation Z, you always hear them, this is a generation of vipers. Well, I've lived long enough to hear that my generation was the generation of vipers by those that came before us. Then those that came after us were the generation of vipers that came after by us. We were the ones who say, this is a generation of vipers. So it seems as though young people on the whole seem to be these generation of vipers that we see. So just giving them that categorization doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't fix the problem. And unfortunately, there is no pill. There is no one act. If a young person has taken where he is, there is no way that in 2 weeks, in 1 hour, that can be fixed. That can be reversed. In order to help our young people, and I'll get into that more into the second half hour, but in order to help our young people, we have to realize that it's a journey and not an event. An event you go to, it's all done and it's gone. But it's a journey. And think of a slinky or a spring when you pull that out. Most of us, we start, we meet them one place and we want to take them to another place. And the points, and in between those two points is generally in the framework of our mind, one line. It's generally one line. But when you're dealing with behavior modification, it's more like a slinky or a spring. You start at one point, you go up on highs, then you go up on lows. Go up on highs, go up on lows. What most of us say to young people when we want to help them, if you give me any lows, then that gives me the right to give up on you. Most of us don't realize when we say, you just rude, what we are also saying by that is because you rude, I don't have to do anything with you. I don't have to help you. I don't have no more obligation to you. But the reality is, because remember I spoke about power earlier, when you do that, you have actually empowered him. When you do that, you've actually opened the door for him to be susceptible to those of society who would want to use him. Now, I intentionally framed it like that because automatically we would say gangs. But it's not just gangs. It's the individuals who are going to hire them and not pay them a fair salary. Then not pay national insurance and put them on the right track. The person who is going to exploit them just as much as the gang member. Because why? They want power. And in our society right now, money equals power. Money equals truth. And so it's a kind of a perverted act. And when they get the lesson from us that all you need is money, and all things will be forgiven and given, then they go after the power. They go after the money. They go after getting it the best way that they know how. And so when that young man pulls the gun on an individual, and I'm in no way excusing it, because hurt people hurt people. I'm in no way excusing it, but I'm seeking to articulate in a way that shows more than one perspective. And so when they are going after the power, everyone tries to get power the way they know how. There are some people who undermine others to get power. There are some people who suck up to other people to get power. And then there are some people who use weapons to get power. But all of these things are really focused on trying to get power. Generations into being disempowered. And then their lack of power is ignored, and they are blamed for it in a society that says, it's your fault. It's your fault. What ends up happening? The same society that we have now. We are all contributing towards the society that we have. And I don't want to paint a bleak picture. I really don't. Because it's not all of our youth that are falling by the wayside. Even students that end up at programs, sure. There are some of them, by times they come there, they done hardened. And so we have to sort of have emergency sessions to intervene. But the good majority of the young men are just young men that need a place to be able to mature without them being judged. And helping them to understand the world that's operating around them as they transition from childhood into adolescence and then eventually into adulthood. And this is why I say it has to be a journey. It has to be a journey. Just last night, at the Black Box for the Dundas. Students of Program Shaw and Taps, led by a lady, you guys know her as Miss Daisy, and her team member, Mr. Colbert. We were able to pull off a one-hour play with students who were sent to both programs because they could not conform. But maybe they weren't conforming in their old environment, not that they are unable to conform. And I'd just like to shout out Ms. Ching down there at Taps with the girls. We both are on the same page. And so even when they come to these programs, we realize not everyone is this terrible person that their records say that they are. And if we engage them in that way, then we put up a wall between us and the ability to assist them. We put up a wall. And that wall stops us from being able to move forward. But right now, we have to take a little break. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Please stay with us. You can check us out after the break. Tell it to Stanya.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Garden 61.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This holiday season, stay connected to the ones you love with Alive. Switch today and get 5 gigabytes of data free with your first 30-day plan. Whether you're sharing holiday moments or enjoying Junkanoo Bay, Alive keeps you connected all season long. Visit BeAlive.com to make the switch today. It's good to be alive.
This Christmas, Fidelity Bank is still the one. With one easy monthly payment, one fantastic way to save, and one chance to win $5,000 in extra cash. Make that move to Fidelity Bank and apply for a personal loan for a chance to win extra cash today. Call 356-7764 for more details.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, Bahamas. Welcome back, Nassau, as we continue our discussion about our youth. I truly hope my words have opened some people's eyes. Usually when I talk, I get some people mad and offended. So I hope I did that too, because it means that you are thinking. And that is what my intention is, to really get us to think about what it is that we are doing and how we can do some things differently, because all is not lost. All is far from lost, but we have to do some things differently. So I spoke, gave some context about how we got here, what are we doing, about conversation we like to have. I never like to lament or complain about anything without stretching my own mind to try and find a solution, while at the same time realizing that solutions are best when they are collective, right? So I want to share my interpretations of some of the things that we can do. It's not a matter of like a silver bullet. I have the idea. I have a contribution, you know, based on my experience of over 20 years of working with young people. Over 20 years of working with them. Some of the things that I have noticed. So let's start first with defining who Generation Z is. Who are these young people that we are dealing with now? So some people say they have a short attention span. And they'll be correct. Generation Z, according to the information, gives you like 8 seconds to determine if they can listen to you or not, or they can not listen to you. Some people call it lock off and lock on. And so in that 8 seconds, if you don't get lost, no matter how good what it is that you have to say, and working at program, sure, a lot of people want to come there and talk. But if I understand, firstly, that within the Christian context, right, the God that you praise made the whole earth with just speaking it into being. The whole earth with just speaking it into being. But when it came down to man, the God that you praise, according to the story, came down and formed man out of the dirt with his hands. So if God had to come down and get down and dirty, he had to go through that journey for the creation of man, how then do we think that we can just speak change into the young people? So I prefer people like Ms. Duquesa Dean, who are going to come over a couple of weeks to give them a journey so that she could transfer skills. So it's still talking, but then we have to think about what type of talking and what activities are going to be involved, because we have to be able to hold them. No longer are we living in a time where a teacher could just stand at the would you say extol the truths and virtues of all the knowledge that they have and the people just get it? Not when we live in a world of social media where if you're scrolling through any site and you don't like it, you give it a few seconds and you just scroll through because that's not what you like. I mean, unless if you're offended, then you're going to run on about it probably, right? Or you might just scroll through. So it's the same thing. They grew up in that. We didn't grow up in that. And so for them, they give you 8 seconds. This is the world that was given to them. And this is how they operate. But because we want to do for them what we did, and I'm not saying what we experienced was wrong or there was some shortcoming of it. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we need additional skills. We need additional skills to be able to relate to the young people that we have of today. Because as Generation Z, and we only get a short time for them because after them is the Generation Alpha. You know, they're coming right up behind. But we have to understand Generation Z is who we have now. So they only giving you 8 seconds. Then when you talk about things like authority, for a baby boomer and what he grew up in, a person with a title is that represents authority. However, as time went on, we questioned titles and then move on to skills. Just because you're a baby boomers, you were a leader, and so therefore we don't challenge you. The Generation X, well, we're going to question you. You know, we're going to question you. And that evolved until we get now to Generation Z, who, when you come to them with authority first, you're going to end. This is, I think, a challenge that many individuals who have to deal with them. If you don't have influence first with them, then you don't have authority. And that's just how they are. And so it's not that there's something wrong with them. It's just that the tools that we are using might not be most effective, right down to even beating. If you realize it, a beating only lasts a certain amount of time. A beating is an event. It's an event. And a lot of people say, oh, a beating saved me. But you know what? The beating was so traumatic that they forgot that same person who beat them actually sat with them, actually supported them, actually walked with them. It was a whole journey. But because of the trauma of that beating, that's what you remember the most. Think about it. When you go on a trip and you come back, yes, lady, you're talking about it. What you talk about? The things that went wrong, because that was the trauma. Those are the things that you hold on to. However, that wasn't the whole thing of your trip. You had other things, too, that went on in your trip. And you will remember those also in time. And so getting back to Generation Z now, and how to relate to them. And if you have influence, you have authority. If you have no influence, then you don't have authority. And the only way to get influence is to take that journey with them. I'm often commended of the respect that the young men have for me. Well, I don't fool myself. I know that, like, part of that is because I write the letter for them to go back to school and they end the program. However, I often like to test it to see otherwise, right? But the respect that they have for me is because I don't put authority first. I'm not an authoritarian or disciplinarian or anything like that. No, I actually rather make jokes. A lot of people don't know that about me because they think I'm so serious. But I'd rather make jokes. And that is how I relate to them. In a world full of stress and pressure, why don't we relieve some of that for them? And by doing that and holding them to standards. So you can make a joke and you can have a joke that has no standards, or you can make a joke that keep the standards and still funny. That's a real comedian there, right? So it isn't that you have to be so staunch. And when most people are dealing with them, the first thing they want to do is be staunch. And I often have to say to people, to adults, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't relate to them like that, and I don't appreciate them being treated in that way. There are times I have to do it publicly, but most times I try to do it privately so as not to embarrass the person. But I've had to do it. I've had to do it to members of the police. I've had to do it to other teachers. I've had to do it to other administrators, because I also have to be their advocate. And by being their advocate, it opens the door for me to be an authority in their lives. and to be able to say to them, go do this, go do that, go do the next thing. But I don't practice too much of giving orders per se, because I want to train them of how to speak to people in a common way. I'd rather teach them about being assertive rather than being aggressive. Assertive sends a message. Aggression leads to a fight. So all of these are part of what we do at Program Shore. So that's who Generation Z is. That's who we're dealing with now, right? A different creature from who you were as a young person. Now we talk about the solutions. How do we make improvements over our situation? How do we get our young people more skilled? How do we get our young people to be more socially adept, to be able to go to Fusion, go by the mall, go to a party, and it doesn't lead to violence? How do we do that? Well, the first thing I'd like to say on that is that we are not entitled to any future other than the ones we create. People talk about their birthright and the legacy of that, you know, and we often speak as if we are entitled to this Bahamas that is a paradise. But I think that's the tourism sales pitch going too far, because we are only entitled to the country that we make. We are only entitled to the return from the efforts that we put into it. I know that might sound a little heavy, but I don't really even mean that. So one thing that we can do. First of all, we already have youth programs. We have baseball that's doing very well, or various sports actually, baseball, swimming. We have a number of service organizations. Even when we sponsored our after-school program in the Indaba Project, it always was not lost on me that there was a demographic of students who were attracted to come to our program. And there was another demographic who we would see them walking by. There was a young lady who was right across the street from us. And we always wanted to try and get her to come, but she would never come to the program. Those children that came to the program, for the most part, all of them are doing well and managing right now. I mean, with that young lady. But I can only hope that she is doing well. But it makes me think to myself from back then, way in like 2000, when I was deep in the community and working, how do we get to those individuals who are not getting it? You know, how do we get to them? And what it really takes is not just set up shop and have a program, but go after them. Go after them. How do we get their parents involved? The way that we get their parents involved is to be able to provide solutions. If you say you want to empower people, if you say you're in a community and you want to help them, you can't help if you don't provide solutions. And you don't have to create the solution. You just have to be able to point people in the direction and sometimes walk with them. Because there are a lot of government services that are, or services on the whole, that are available to people, and they simply don't know. They simply don't know. And so the youth programs, we have to, just as we do at Program Shore, engage the youth, but also their parents and their families, so that we can understand what's going on. In the Indaba Project, we provided food for our students at the end. People were going home to no food. And some children came only because of the food, you know. That's fine, because that's a start. But we also help people go to college. We raise money by cleaning up in the community and recycling the bottles and cans. That gave us money to do certain things. What we would do with that is cash the checks and give it to the young people for them to hold on to. We had a circle. Circle is very important to the Indaba Project and to African people when we're talking about healing, all right? And even the Catholic Church now is getting themselves in that circular because of the value of the circle. But when you're talking about the Catholics right now, we're talking about how the Indaba Project, we would give, let them feel this money in their hand, hundreds of dollars, and let them know this is your money that you made by your effort. Doing things like that makes a mental imprint that will guide them into the future. And so the youth programs have to be responsive, not just delivering the service that they want to the people that come, but also servicing the very real needs of their families. Now, I don't believe in like the savior complex. So I don't think like you have to save people, but you just have to be there as a support and help them as they get through. And it's not forever, and you do see the return from it. And so youth programs, yes, there are many of them, but they need to just like we as individuals, kind themselves to do a bit more if we want to reverse. Now, if we were just want to keep status quo, we could do status quo, and we will get status quo results, right? But if we want to really reach them, we have to find ways to reach them. We have students that don't come to regular school, but they come to program, sure. Part of that is because we have a bus that picks them up, but the bus got to pick some of them up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So here's a young man who doesn't normally go to school on a regular, but he's waking up to catch the 5 o'clock bus. We have to begin to understand. Like, not just want to save people without understanding what their reality is and what are the real things that they need help with. Because, like I said, the future that we will live will be the future that we create. Now, step two. We also have to expose them earlier to skills. They talk about the past and they talk about how school ended at a particular time, 13 or 15 thereabout. And then after that, people would work under someone, you know, in some form of internship. The demographic of students that are young people that I work with, it's already happening. It's already happened. The robbers, they're interning with the fellas with the guns, you know? So they're already doing the internship. It's already working. We just, those of us that are into positive things just needs to do that. And our program, sure, I must say, you know, we, if anyone is interested in helping us, my number is 449-8016. Our phones have been down since September, BTC. So you would have to contact us through me, 449-8016, or Ian Mora on social media, because we are open to partnerships. We are open to having our young men work with other individuals who are skilled. And it's not about being rich, because most people don't get rich. It's about showing them the values that you need in order to be successful. That's what Program Shaw really is about. And we can go so far. We have skills like hospitality where they learn cooking. We have, I am so proud of the agriculture product that we put out. Right now we have lettuce, we have kale, we have onions in the ground, we have broccoli. Our chickens are producing eggs. And so we want the young men to be a part of Eden. That's what we used to do with agriculture, you know. But now we've changed certain things, and we're using more modern tools, you know. Something as simple as a lawnmower makes a difference. And so that agriculture is important, to the point where we have had students who have come to us and say, I would like to continue to be a farmer. I would like to continue in agriculture. And so we're working now, we're beginning a relationship with BAMSI where we can send them in that direction. Because not every student of Program Shaw, the regular school system works. And that's not an indictment on the school system, because there is no one system that you can create for everyone. So you must have different avenues for different people to be able to reach the goal. And so the internships and the exposure to skills, you take a young man and put him in a language class, and he can't read. You put him in a language class. Him and that language teacher, unless she has the specialized skills to be able to relate to him and get through to him, him and the language teacher can be battling straight through. However, you take that same young man and put him in woodwork, and all during lunchtime, that's what he's doing. That's all he's doing. You know, we also have the Defense Force with us at Program Shaw, and the skill they are not there to intimidate the young men, but they are there to demonstrate for them a level of discipline and also to give them skills. A part of what we did at our production last night, Thief of Love, I started to talk about the director, Miss Lynn Therese Davis, also known as Miss Daisy. But she too, with the theater therapy program, these are what we deal with. The students get to set a goal. They get to go through the highs and lows of reaching that goal, and then they get to feel the glory of achieving that goal. See, confidence is created by competence. And in the world that we are living in now, the majority of young people that are falling at the wayside, when we really get to interact with them, then we understand that they've been so sheltered, they've been so limited, that they haven't had the experiences that would build confidence in them. And this is what forces them to look around, because they don't understand that they can generate their power by developing themselves. And so now we have to model this for them. And so we have the Defense Force, we have agriculture, we have Miss Daisy, we have all these things at Program Shaw to enrich the young men's lives. And, you know, this kind of off track, but I do not work for the ministry to say, good job, Mr. Morrow. I do not work for those who work along with me to say, good jobs. I do not even work for the young man, as good as it feels, to say, good job, Mr. Morrow. I work for the mothers or the fathers or both of these young men to say to me, Mr. Morrow, I see a difference in my son. That's what we're working for there. And so this is why Program Shaw are set up in such a way. We're set up, all of these things that I'm telling you about is exactly what we're working with in Program Shaw. We work with the parents, and sometimes we got to help them out, even right down to helping people with getting documentation. Something as simple as that influences behavior, but that's a whole different show, right? So our youth programs have to be responsive to the actual needs and create or point to solutions for them. When you do that, you relieve real pressure from people, and that fosters the relationship. Building, sharing skills with them also takes time. It does the same thing. These are two simple things that we can do in order to change how we relate to them. And the final thing is something personal. I guess personal to me too, but personal to all of us. Because in order youth, in order to reach them, you have to, you have to be secure in yourself. If you are insecure, and so when they curse and they carry on, you ain't gonna be able to take that, you know? When they give you disruptive behavior, you're not gonna be able to take that. And nobody has those skills on their own. Our culture. Remember I say our culture give us certain tools, but those tools are not working as good as we would want them to. And so now we just need to have some more tools. And these are just the tools. The first tool is you got to look within yourself and realize that, hold on, I am not going to give the words that these young people are saying any power. I choose that. I choose which words I'm going to give power to. And most times when we are responding to them aggressively, it's because we figure they have taken our power away. You see how power comes back, and even us more power, and how powerful power is? So when we feel that they as a young person are taking away our power, then we get angry, but that's the same thing that they're doing, right? So we actually modeling for them, and then they're taking it more extreme than us because they ain't got nothing to really live for yet. We have things to live for that regulate our behavior. If it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for jail, I would do this. If it wasn't for the police and getting locked up, I would do this. If it wasn't for my children, these are things people say all the time. But they haven't achieved any of these things yet. So if that's the values, if that's the mindset that we operating in, we are actually contributing towards it. And so all of us have to get a level of, let's say a young man curse around me. Sometimes I don't be for that. I got to tell you that. Sometimes I don't be for that. But let's say a young man curse around me. If I don't deal with it then, I could deal with it later. Because he doesn't determine my authority. I determine that. So I listen, hear what he have to say, because I'm going to use that later as I'm helping him. But if I'm in my feelings, then I can't do that. Well, Bahamas, I think we have come down to the end of my time, and I would like to continue this discussion, but Ms. Brittany over there giving me the wrap-up signal. So hopefully we can continue this discussion even further, and maybe I can even bring some of my students on so that you guys can hear from them, because that is a voice that is lost, and lost voices lead towards violence. If we want to have a better country, we have to work towards it, and the youth are our future. They will only be what we make them. Thank you for listening, and I hope I helped you to think and get some new skills today. Tell it to Stanya.
On Tell It to Stanya.